on the fly is right here at Warbirds today. And it is a nice, pleasant day down here. We are right directly underneath the Wayside Tower. I think that's what we call this, Bill, right? The Wayside Wayfinding Tower for Warbirds. You can't miss us. It is a popular day in Warbirds today. Here it is, Hump Day, Wednesday, and everyone is out and about. The weather is great for now, and we don't even need to talk about the weather because we'd have no idea what it's going to do later. And, you know, for us, we really, at this moment, don't care.
Well, it's a great crowd today. Boy, for a Wednesday, typically, you know, middle of the week, it's could be a little quieter, but I heard this morning that crowds come in through the gates off Highway 41. It was very busy, and we're glad to see everyone in here, and welcome to AirVenture 2021.
And for everybody listening, you're hearing Bill Fisher, the EA Warbirds director, with all kinds of good information. Tell us what's happening this year that is new and exciting and maybe we haven't seen before.
Well, after taking the year 2020 off, it's really a big family reunion. A lot of the aircraft owners were anxious to come back and bring in some really special aircraft. We've got a Hawker Hurricane, Spitfire. Some of the British aircraft are outstanding. We've got a great variety of classic jets. If you go out on the jet line, you can see the anything from Korean War era F-86 to a Vietnam era T-37 Tweet and everything in between. So add to that our bomber line. We've got a string of, what was there, 6 B-25s from World War II, all kinds of transport aircraft. Our fighter town area is filled with P-51 Mustangs, and I mentioned the Hurricane and Spitfire. A P-38 Lightning. So we've got everything, the whole gamut of World War II aircraft. Couldn't be more excited about this year's variety. We've got some brand new restorations that are just outstanding, and I'm really anxious to see how the judging program turns out to see who's going to be crowned grand champion.
So who would you say is most in the running for that? Say the top three. What would you say now would be the top three?
Well, top three, there is, I don't want to quote any names, but there's a Grumman Hellcat, there's the P-38 Lightning, there's several P-51 Mustangs, and the Hurricane. So that's...
any of those are in the running.
Any of those are in the running, and, you know, looking back a couple years ago, there were two aircraft that were, they scored almost identically on the high level of the spectrum. And the judges had to go back out, and they had to do another review well after dark. After all the numbers were tallied, it was basically a dead heat. So they had to go back out at night and go through one more time, and they somehow or another found something that rated one aircraft a little bit better than the other. So it's the amount of time and effort and energy that goes into these restorations, you really have to... you know, give kudos to those owners and museums or whoever operates the aircraft to the attention of detail, the historical significance that they put into it. And it's just amazing. People really got to come out and see some of these fantastic aircraft.
Well, we also have to give credit to these volunteer judges, because the judges really get very little credit. Nobody really talks about them very much. But that's an extremely important volunteer position as a judge in any of the venues here.
Right. We've got in our judging core, I would estimate about 40 judges that they work and evaluate. They all have their specialty areas, whether it be fighters, bombers, trainers, the L-Birds. They all have their expertise, and they work in judging teams. So they'll go out on a golf cart with 6 personnel. They'll record all their scores individually, then they'll come back and compare notes. There'll be a photographer with them that takes photographic documentation of everything, and they really, really, really look hard at every detail, and they do a great job, and really it's hats off to those guys for all their hard work. They put in some long hours, and really dedicated to the program.
You know, this might be a good time to just, it's been a couple of years since we've been to Warbirds, quite a few years, actually. It might be a good moment to just kind of dissect the organization. So the EAA, you're the EAA Warbirds director, but there's also Warbirds of America. Explain to the listeners how that interaction works.
Oh, sure. We look at it this way. EAA is the mothership, and we are a special interest community that caters to people that have an interest in former military aircraft. There's about 8,000 members scattered around worldwide, and they are either a pilot, an owner, could be a museum director, but most of our members are enthusiasts, the people that are just interested in the history. They love the airplanes, they love the stories behind them, and they join us to be part of the action, so to speak. So when they join up with EAA Warbirds of America, they get an automatic subscription to Warbirds magazine, which comes out 8 times a year, and it really has some fantastic photography, stories on current restorations, stories about historical information, a little bit of safety information for the operators, and it's a well-rounded publication that people really enjoy. We also have a weekly newsletter that comes out to our subscribers, and that's more focused on videos and action and the latest and greatest news that comes out weekly. So a really good following there. Along with that, there's opportunities for people to volunteer. We participate here, obviously, at Sun and Fun, where about 600 people volunteer to help the Warbirds area, you know, move and groove, so to speak. We also participate down at the Sun and Fun fly-in down in Lakeland, Florida, in the early springtime. And down there, maybe 100, 150 volunteers doing the same thing. You know, working the flight line, greeting the pilots, providing security, anything to support the organization. And without the volunteers, you know, EAA-wide, there's probably over 5,000 volunteers.
Sure.
That really make it go. And without them and their dedicated service, we wouldn't have our great convention.
Since the whole, really most of it is run by volunteers and always has been here at AirVenture, if somebody wanted to volunteer in Warbirds, what could they do?
Well, we have actually 34 different chairpersons, and the main focus is on the flight line crew. There's probably over 150 flight line volunteers, and their job is to safely move aircraft on the grounds, get the airplanes in the proper position, make sure that crowd control is taken care of, and that's a big part of it. We also have a big security contingent, making sure that people are being where they are supposed to be at the right time. If there's a safety concern, they'll jump right in there and help people get guided in the correct direction. We've got a volunteer food service facility where we feed our people breakfast and lunch every day. So there's a dedicated core of volunteers that keep our volunteers happy.
You told me they bring in literally a pallet of water a day.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
your
absolutely.
Volunteer operation.
Yep, that's another little function. We have our welcome committee where there's people on golf carts providing hydration services. You know, when a pilot comes in, he's maybe traveled cross country for a couple hours in his plane. He's hot, he's thirsty, he's tired. The first thing they get is a warm welcome from our staff and a cold bottle of water, and keep them hydrated, and you know, get them started on the right foot here in Oshkosh.
That's awesome. Hey, listen, we just saw a couple airplanes start up, or at least one start up and taxi out, and we're still, you know, a couple hour and a half away from the air show or from the. We do a parade of flight at 2:30. Is that what we start with?
Yeah. Well, they do the flag drop at 2:30, which includes the national anthem. And then they segue into the first acts of the show, and we'll go until, you know, 6 p.m.
So the startup now, that would be just to get things positioned? They're starting to move things out?
Yeah, there's sometimes there's pre-positioning where it's if it's a larger aircraft like this, the one that just went out was a Hawker Sea Fury. It's got folding wings. It was a naval aircraft based on a Royal Navy aircraft carrier. So it takes them, you know, a little more to get in position, to unfold the wings, get everything ready. So when they get ready to fly at 2 o'clock or whatever time it is that they fly today, they're ready to go time and on target.
Well, it provides a nice audio backdrop for our radio show, you know.
It does, and visually too. People really, when they see any aircraft with folding wings, to go through that whole routine, the engine startup. They taxi out, and they fold down the wings, and people just love that. They can't get enough of that action.
It's quite a sight. Okay, Bill, well, we're going to take a break, and then we've got plenty of people lined up to talk to for the next hour. Hold on just a moment. Don't go away. You're listening to On the Fly. I'm Jay Monchi, and this is EA Radio.